Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This is Stacking the Box with NFL insider Matt Verderam and Mark Carman. Welcome in. Stacking the Box is here, and it's good to be back. Damn it, I missed a couple of weeks going out to Bears, OTAs, minicamp, and whatnot. Matt Verderam, good to see you. Breaking news to start the show today, Verdi. We can get into it in a second, but it is good to be back with you, my friend.
It's good to have you back. I'm glad you were able to survive Bears camp.
Hey, they are building a bridge to a better Chicago Bears over there. But all right, let's talk about what's going on here. Deshaun Watson has settled all but four of his civil cases. Statement that I can read here from Tony Busby. Says the cases against Deshaun Watson started with one phone call from one brave and strong woman. That woman was Ashley Solis. At the time of the call, she was just one of 100 of calls seeking legal assistance that her firm gets weekly. And on it goes here. Just today, I announced that all cases against Deshaun Watson, with the exception of four, have settled. We are working through the paperwork related to those settlements. Once we have done so, those particular cases will be dismissed. The terms and amounts of the settlements are confidential. We won't comment further on the settlements or those cases. As stated, Ashley Solis is one of the heroes of the story. Her case has not settled, and thus her story and that of the other three brave women will continue. I look forward to trying these cases in due course, consistent with other docket obligation and the court's schedule. Strange, weird, and awful circumstances that's been going on for a long time, but we are, I guess we're moving forward today, if nothing else.
Well, to an extent, look, it had been previously reported, I know by Mike Florio, I don't know if it was somewhere else before that, that of these civil suits, I believe at the time it was 22 civil suits and 18 of the women involved were reportedly willing to take a settlement that was $100,000 for each. And yet Watson decided not to go through with it because he kind of wanted an all or nothing deal, where either he settled all the cases or he didn't settle them. So perhaps this is him double backing here and saying, okay, you know what? I'm going to settle the ones I can settle. Whether that ended up being for 100K or for more, we won't know. There obviously is Busby, who is the lawyer for all the plaintiffs. He pointed out it was confidential. So, look, I think for our purposes and for our perspective, what does it mean going forward? I still think if you're the NFL, I don't know that it changes all that much.
Right.
I mean, you still have four women who apparently are not willing to settle, at least at the terms that have been laid out for the other women. So, if you're the league, I mean, I think you get caught sometimes in the trap of hearing, oh, wow, 20 settled. That means four women are suing him of sexual misconduct and or assault. That's a lot of women. Like, that's still a lot of people. I mean, one is obviously more than enough. Four is still a ton. Yes. 24 now goes to four. I'd also point out, look, because people always do this and it drives me crazy with stuff like this. With Watson settling, that does not mean innocence or guilt. It just means settling. So, you know, I think a lot of times people look at it as either an admission of guilt. I understand the optics of that. If you're settling something, if you're giving money for something, it lends the idea of, well, you wouldn't pay if you're completely innocent. But sometimes people do settle to move on if they can afford to do it. Now, I don't know. You know, I'm not saying that's the case here, but my point is, it is important to remember with civil suits, it is a monetary situation. It is not criminal by nature. There's no, you know, there's no jail time or anything like that included on it. So whether or not Deshaun Watson is innocent, guilty, I don't know. What I do know is now 24 cases goes to 4, but I still think for the NFL, they still face a very serious situation with Deshaun Watson. I don't think it changes, you know, potential suspension or anything like that.
So, okay, you said a lot there, and I thought your initial foray was spot on, because I feel a little, oh my God, we're down to 4. So that's how I was kind of hearing it. Well, there's four that are it's a huge number still. And listen, in my mind, Deshaun Watson should not play football this year. You had 24 civil cases. He settled 20 civil cases. You got 4 holding out. Your suspension is you will not play this year. Baker Mayfield, get ready. And we'll welcome Deshaun back after he's done a bunch of things that we laid out that he needs to do. And we'll see you in 2023. That's what I would do if I were the NFL. And we have seen varying reports that the suspension is going to be significant. I also find it very interesting. Just to recap what's actually happened. The Houston Texans were able to get 3 first-round draft picks. 3.
Correct.
For Deshaun Watson. It's a hell of a haul. That's the haul you would get, you would think, for somebody his age who has nothing attached to him. He had this attached to him. They were still able to get 3 first-round draft picks. All right? He got the greatest contract in the history of the NFL for a quarterback, $230 million guaranteed.
For anybody.
As far as pure... For anybody. Yeah. That's what these are the things that have actually happened. And then I thought of recent note, Jadeveon Clowney, who was a free agent and just decided to sign with the Browns, and his comments, quote, "I was all about where my boy Deshaun was going. I just wanted to play with him and see what I could do with him again." Reminder, Clowney's not a wide receiver. He just wants to be in the locker room with this guy.
Also, I hate to be the guy who rains on the parade. They never won shit together. Okay. Right. Ever. 2 of them literally never won one thing together. But I mean, fine. Like, Jadeveon Clowney couldn't go somewhere where there was also a good quarterback. Look, maybe he's friends with him and you know, whatever. But like, let's not make it out. You know, like Jadeveon Clowney's comments made it out like Deshaun Watson's won like 4 Super Bowls. I mean, he's won one playoff game and blew a 24-0 lead in a playoff game in the span of 10 minutes. So it's not like – that is beyond just the legal stuff and the civil suits and all the horrendousness that's gone on with this. That is the one kind of odd thing just from a purely football standpoint. Look, no one would argue, if they're being honest and being fair, that Watson's not a tremendous quarterback. He's a very good football player.
Yeah. Right?
That said – Cleveland gave him $230 million guaranteed. I would argue that that contract is bonkers even without all this other stuff. Like, nobody – who is competing against you for this? Who is doing this? And I know Atlanta and New Orleans and Carolina are all in on him. I understand that. But there's a reason that the day before this whole thing got done, back in March, the Browns and the Panthers were out. And then all of a sudden, he's there and he realized that he just wants to win, which of course is crap. He just saw $230 million, which is fine. I don't blame him. But you know, you look it around, like even without this stuff, there are a handful of other quarterbacks I'd rather pay over to Deshaun Watson. And with it, there's no way I would pay him that money, which is why the Browns are who they are. But look, it's a fascinating situation. It's a sad situation. There's a lot of different adjectives you can use. But yeah, look, in the end, to answer the question on our screen, which is for those listening, how will this affect his potential suspension? I have felt this way for well over a month. I think he will be suspended indefinitely. I do. And I do not think we will see him this season. And I think if the NFL suspends him for less than a full season, people are going to go insane.
I don't mean to go at your opinion, because your opinion might be spot on, but is that based on Verderam's sources and what you're hearing, or is it just Verderam opinion?
Which part of it?
The indefinite suspension part.
No, my opinion. Okay. It's just the reason I say that, to be succinct on this, is I just think for the NFL, you don't want to suspend him for a determined amount of time. And then that, especially if it's less than a full season, and then that ends, and then four more suits come out, or a video emerges. You know what? I think if you're the NFL, you want to have that power of flexibility to say, okay, everything's settled, everything's adjudicated, now we can move forward. Now we're going to end the suspension, or we're going to give it a definite date. Whereas if you suspend him for a determinate amount of time, yes, you can always add on to it, but then it gets messy. The NFL Players Union might fight. Like I would just say, look, you're suspended indefinitely. And I don't believe it at that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And there's not, I mean, I'd be shocked if any video came out unless he was going to people's homes, but that would be illegal to be videoing someone when you're doing a massage, because you're not always in the room and all that type of stuff. So it's just whatever. At any rate, and let me just say this. Deshaun Watson was one of my favorite players in the NFL. I loved watching him play. I loved his press conferences. I loved when a reporter asked him about a particular play and he questioned the reporter with respect, saying, well, did you play? Do you understand what I'm about to explain to you? And then he gave a very detailed breakdown of one particular play. And I was looking at that guy, and maybe there was some Mitch Trubisky in there too, but I'm like, I really, really wish that guy, that leader, was my quarterback. And that's partly why he got fully why he got the deal with the Browns still. But it is still amazing what everyone's looking past. And it's even more amazing, too, that Jadeveon Clowney feels free, so to speak, to go out and speak this praisingly, if you will, and not worry about how it looks whatsoever. He just wants to support his guy.
Carm, you've been in the media almost as long as I've been alive, not to age you. But my point is, just a compliment to you. You've been around this for a long time, longer than I've been. Seen a lot. Covered a lot. The one thing I will say about this, and I'm not going to go, you know, with names or whatever, people will figure it out, I'm sure. The way this has been covered by certain outlets has been disgraceful. Like, let me just say that. Like, I can't believe that something of this seriousness, like, the hell with football. This is a story on a human level. This is a story of, in a lot of cases, and in a lot of ways, courage of women to come out and put their name to it and say, hey, look, this happened to me. That's hard enough. Then factor in, this is one of the most powerful people in the country. Okay. When you have this kind of money and this kind of star power, and yet it's barely been covered by certain major outlets that cover this sport because of, and let's just call it what it is, because, well, if we cover it, then what happens when this all ends? Okay. Do we get the same kind of access? Deshaun Watson is represented by a very powerful agent who I, in full disclosure, do not have a relationship with, not good or bad. I don't have a relationship with, but it's like, it's almost, if you've covered this league, if you understand how all this stuff works, it's like, well, we don't want to say anything bad, because then will that sour relationship with other players represented? And I'm not, by the way, to be perfectly clear with this, I'm not saying there's any kind of, like, you know, overt conversation like that, but it's very clear that there were decisions made by certain outlets, like, basically not to cover this in a real hardcore, not even journalistic way, but just news media way. And I think that's been a great disservice to a lot of these women that came out and put their names to this. And I think it's really also given the Browns a hell of a lot of cover. I really do. Not that the Browns haven't got pounded on Twitter, but Twitter is different from like the rest of the world. Okay. The Browns have gotten more cover than they should have with this, because I feel like a lot of times it's been buried by certain outlets that are just terrified to really delve into this stuff. And it should be done too, because even though there are not criminal complaints at this point, 10 of them were there. They were dismissed by two grand juries in Texas. Like this is extremely serious. And when you look at the way it's been covered, the only time Deshaun Watson's been brought up a lot in certain corners of the media has been when he signed that contract with the Browns. That was it. Like, that was like the main amount of time it was talked about. I find it distasteful.
So it's very challenging for people who work in media, not to give anybody a pass here, but the reality is that you can lose your job if you go too far, if you haven't really quote unquote made it and you have that level of security that you know you'll get picked up by somebody else. That plays in. Companies are in bed with the NFL. That's obviously a thing. And then the other side of it is like a lot of, I just want to defend the media for a second too. A lot of people, like they ride the media to the end of the year. The media is terrible. The media is this fake news, all the stuff that's out there. Hey man, if the media wasn't doing their jobs, Jerry Sandusky never gets caught. The media is not doing their job. Sure. Nassar doesn't get caught. So now that's media putting a spotlight on absolutely straight horrible people that does not have the same risk as going at the shield, so to speak. So I wish it was a safer environment out there for and Hunter's putting in the chat here, Monte Teo as well. Listen,
you're not wrong, but I guess my larger point is, and in fact, you're not only not wrong, you're right. And I think people should know what they don't know, right? I mean, they should know. Like I am not a legal expert, but this is something I don't have to be a legal expert to at least discuss from a football perspective, which I think has been lost in some of these networks. It's like, look, I understand NFL Network is not going to sit there and talk about it 24 hours a day. I understand that. Okay. Right or wrong, I get it. It obviously is a network that literally is an arm of the NFL media. Like I get the league isn't going to sit there and just constantly bang on a negative topic when it's a business. And of course it's not going to do that. But my larger point is, listen, and I, like I said earlier, and I want to be crystal clear, Watson is repped by a very powerful agent. And again, one that I have neither negative or positive things to say, but I just don't know. I don't think there's ever been any like, hey, you know, don't talk about my guy or anything like that, because that stuff, first of all, if that's happening and you're listening to that, I mean, you're not a reporter. Okay. You're not doing your job. I'm not saying it's happened. What I am saying has happened is there have been certain decisions clearly made, like, hey, we're really not going to publicize this in a way where we're going to talk about it, where it's going to be out there in a way that I think normally something of this nature would be. And yet when he signed with the Browns, it became an all-you-can-eat extravaganza of let's talk about every single little thing about it. I get it's easier to talk about that part of it because that's football news. But look, I would applaud someone like Jenny Ventress over at the New York Times, who did God's work with this and did a lot of work and really investigated and found out that, no, actually Watson had massages with 66 different women between late 2019 and the present day, at least to her reporting and her findings. Like, that's real reporting. That's real work. I'm not even sitting here saying, look, we're not sitting here doing reporting on it, but we are commentating on it. I think it's important and it's fair to sit here and have discussions about this when, let's be real, this is as far as an off-field situation, I can't remember a bigger one in the NFL. 24 civil suits and 10 criminal complaints, yes, were dismissed, but 24, I mean, maybe I'm forgetting one. Obviously the Aaron Hernandez thing off the field was, of course, a huge, huge story, and rightfully so. you know, that would probably be the one I would immediately think of, but there's not many.
Yeah, my head's spinning on that because the NFL, there's always a zillion news pieces going on of stuff off the field that is just disturbing. So I'd have to see a list. Honestly, I couldn't to rank them. But Deshaun is this one just for me was completely stunning because I thought that you never know who anybody is. But like that dude to me was as first class, down the middle, professional a dude going as there was. Like I just an absolute straight pro is what I would have said about him. And clearly, I guess I have to say allegedly, whatever, just that's a major, major absolute entitlement. And like if you bring up a guy like Tiger Woods, pro athletes drinking and cheating on their wives or whatever, like that's not surprising to me. This was like, oh my, you got a lot of entitlement, bro. Like just an amazing amount. So, and I hope he, you know, as best he can, does something with this that moves this forward when it's in a positive way, if that's even possible. But all right, let's do some football, Verm. You wanted to have some fun today. That was actually how we started
the document. Before we were gonna do all this. By the way, let's just finish real quick on this. Jacine Anderson 2 minutes ago tweeted out. We're recording this, by the way, just after noon Eastern on Tuesday. Jacina says, I'm told there's been a recent and intense shift of focus internally within the NFLPA and providing support for Deshaun Watson's case and Watson's outside counsel to ensure, quote, his rights are protected, end quote, thereby also suggesting an initial resolution is nearing, per league source. So there you have it. We can move on, but of course, I just wanted to throw it out there.
And Clint, to your comment right there about, couldn't be a journalist. I'm definitely not a journalist. I do. I don't know if you want to claim to be a journalist, but that's not.
It depends what I'm doing. I wear a lot of hats, but I did.
Thank you for the compliment, Clint. But I can't own that one fully. All right, let's go. You wanted to do our power rankings for today,
which coming out of minicamp.
Yeah, coming out of minicamp. It is Tuesday, June the 21st. So we will have some movement before training camps open. But basically, we are where we are, and not much is going to change. So. You want to go first here, buddy, your top five?
Yeah, let's do it. So not a lot, obviously, has changed since the draft. I think you always get more information. Maybe you kind of shift one way or another. I'll just go one through five. So for me, I think the Bills are the best team in football. I've been saying that now since they acquired Von Miller in free agency. I still believe that. Look, Miller's not who he once was, perhaps, but he's still an excellent football player. I think he gives them the juice they need to get over the hump. I feel like with Buffalo, not now or never in the sense like they're going to have a long window with Josh Allen, but he's going to start getting really expensive. They've got some guys they're going to start losing here in the next year or two. Like it feels like this is kind of the year for the Bills. Like, you know, this feels like if they're going to do it, this might be the best shot to do it. Doesn't mean they can't do it in a few years, but it feels like now's the time. Number two, I had a hard time with number two. I went back and forth. I will say Kansas City. My tiebreaker ultimately with the team I'm about to name is Mahomes. I just think Mahomes will elevate that offense even without Tyreek Hill. I think they have enough pieces around them. The offense will be good. The thing that concerns me with the Chiefs is I think they're more talented defensively, but they're very young. Like they have a lot of guys. I mean, Trent McDuffie, George Karloftis, Leo Chanel, Brian Cook. I mean, I just think four draft picks that they're going to play real time on this defense. Justin Reed's coming in. So I still think the Chiefs are very good. Obviously, number two in the league in my rankings. But I do think the Bills are a half step ahead of them. Number three team I almost put ahead of Kansas City is Tampa. Now, I will say this straight up. Tampa's age scares the hell out of me. That is my biggest concern with Tampa. They've got a lot of guys 30 plus, and in one case, 45. Okay. the age scares me when I look at the Bucs. However, I do think they're very, very good. They almost beat the Rams last year in a playoff game. They had, first of all, no business being, and then they almost won it. They had a million injuries. I think the Bucs are slightly the best team in the NFC. Then four, I would go with the Rams, the defending champions. It's weird. Normally, I'd put the defending champs number one and just say, look, you got to prove it otherwise. The problem I have is I never thought the Rams were the best team in football last year. So it's hard for me to sit here and say, well, I think they're number one. Now, I don't. I think if you put the Rams in the AFC, they're the third best team. If you want to switch them with Tampa, that's fine. If you want to even switch them with Kansas City, okay. But I have them at four. And then number five, I'm going to round out. I'm going to have the Packers. I think the Packers still deserve a lot of respect. Look, Rodgers is a two-time MVP. They have a very good offensive line, very good coach. It can run the ball. Defensively, I think they're going to be very, very good this year. So that's my top five teams that just missed, for the record. The Bengals, who I probably would have had six, okay? The Chargers. And then after that, I think there's somewhat – and then Baltimore. And then Baltimore. After that, for me, there's a drop. Those eight, to me, are the best eight in football. And the Niners are the wild card because I just don't know what I'm getting at quarterback.
So we didn't confer on this beforehand, which is what
we did not.
This is how we do every show. So we are very much in line. I do have Green Bay in my top five. I have them fifth, but I mean, you can basically float these around any which way you want to do it, with the exception of the Bills, who I have at the top. But you're getting, I think Sammy Watkins and a pair of rookie receivers and Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, who I love, who was the 19th wide receiver taken. So I'll be very interested to see if he can actually get close to what I think he's going to be, considering he's got Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback and the opportunity in front of him. All that is super interesting to me. You also get David Bakhtiari back, so that improves the offensive line. And they invested heavily draft-wise in the defense in the early rounds. A couple of guys from Georgia. That's an interesting pairing. So I've got Green Bay in there. I am bullish still on the Rams. People are like, well, Odell's not going to be ready till October or November. That dude wants to stay. I'm going to bet that he will, get back and contribute. And, listen, they're the defending Super Bowl champions. I'm not taking them out of my top five. Along those lines, I'm not taking the Bengals out either. Everyone's fading Cincinnati. Why wouldn't Joe Burrow be better next season? He should be. Same thing with Ja'Marr Chase. So Cincinnati, you are in there. And Kansas City, I'm not gonna take the Chiefs out either. So the reason, though, like one thing you said about the Bills, when they got Von Miller, that didn't elevate them as much as when the Chiefs decided to trade Tyreek Hill, who's, by the way, saying some really weird stuff that's coming out of his mouth on his It Needed to Be Said podcast, which, congratulations, going to the podcast world. It's very difficult, Tyreek.
I got to tell you, it didn't need to be said.
It
turns out, it really didn't need to be said.
Any way, shape, or form. He for those who missed it, and probably not because y'all are diehards, that the Chiefs and Mahomes might struggle without him and that he was underused last season in Kansas City.
I will tell you this.
That's not the worst part, but say something about that.
Okay. Well, I will say, I'll just interlude real quick here. The Chiefs and the Dolphins do not play this season. If they happen to see each other in a playoff game, whatever the prop is for Mahomes, whatever the number is, take the over. Because that will be the ultimate scorched earth scenario where he just is like, I'm going for 500 yards in this game. But go ahead, Carm, continue.
Well, this is like NFL drug testing policy. You might want to go get Tyreek right now. And I understand that he's trying to get clicks on his podcast. And Patrick Mahomes understands that he's trying to get clicks on his podcast, which was very mature of Patrick Mahomes to say that and not take offense, at least publicly, on what he said. But what he said was that Tua is a more accurate passer than Mahomes.
That's a shame.
Dude.
Not good.
You want to say that you are psyched to play in South Beach? The weather is that much better, and I'm going to be that much looser and put up that much better numbers. I can hear that.
Carmi, the nail on the head. I've said this on about 25 radio spots in the last week. Look, he could have pumped up Tua without knocking Mahomes. He could have easily done that, but instead chose to knock Mahomes. I'm telling you, whether or not, and I haven't looked like whether it's this year, you know, it won't be this year unless they see each other in the playoffs, but, you know, next year, whenever it is that they play the Dolphins, Mahomes, I don't care what the line of the game is. I don't care what the yardage prop is. Bet the Chiefs and bet the over. Like that game, look, for those who remember, Chiefs fans will remember this. So the year after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, the offseason after, okay, Lamar Jackson got rated number one in the NFL Top 100 show on NFL Network, which is nothing but fun filler, okay? But he was named number one. Mahomes is number four. They go out and they play Baltimore in September after that, and Mahomes goes nuts, throws for like 400 yards, 5 touchdowns or something, Monday Night Football. And as Mahomes is going off the field after they've basically destroyed Baltimore, he's counting four on his fingers. Like it was. He also did that after they beat the Bears in Chicago. He counted to 10, like he was the 10th overall pick.
It was a big tell you, I love
the
it.
Next time they see Miami, bet the mortgage on that game. Like he is going to go insane in that game. So I'm rooting for a playoff matchup. That would really be the most fun we could have.
I'm in. Let's do it. Dolphins, Chiefs, round one, round two, whatever. Let's tee it up. And I do have the Bills at the top for the record here. Listen, so shoulda, coulda, woulda last year in one of the greatest football games we've ever seen. Buffalo has added on, and they should get better internally as well. So I think it's very clear right now the Bills are the best team in the NFL. My biggest overrated fade right now is the Chargers. I really don't think that they have hit this home run with Khalil Mack. And people are like, oh, he's good. Khalil Mack, in my mind, is done. His body is cooked. I don't think there's a miracle happening here in the offseason for Khalil. Now, I would have been dead wrong about that if I just bring in Bears players right now with Robert Quinn, who had 2 sacks in his first year and then put up 18.5 out of nowhere and got healthy. But Mac's been having physical problems for years now, so I don't think he's going to have that level of impact. I mean, obviously, I love Herbert, and I think the Chargers are very good, but I'm not putting him in my top 5. Well,
real quick, because we got the esteemed Ben Heisler joining us. Look, I would have put the Chargers esteemed. I would have put the Chargers 7th on my power rankings. I will say this, and I've said this many times, both here and on the Arrowhead Addict podcast. Can the Chargers win one big game before everybody has them in the Super Bowl? Like, can the Chargers ever win a game that matters? That is, look, every time I look at the Chargers, I think of two things. One is I think they're really talented. The other is I think they never win a game that matters. Ever. Like, they couldn't beat the Chiefs last year in that Thursday night game at home. They couldn't beat the Raiders last year in that de facto playoff game. They lost to the Texans, who are missing 25 guys with COVID. Like, it's one of those things. Like, I've seen the Chiefs win a million big games. Can the Chargers win one? Can the Chargers win one game? And so that's, I always, like, to me, talent, like, even the Bengals. The Bengals have won big games. They went in the Arrowhead down 21-3 and won the AFC Championship game. Like, they have my ultimate respect for that. Buffalo's won big games. Baltimore, not great in the playoffs, but they've at least won a playoff game. And Harbaugh's won a Super Bowl. The Chargers, like, what is the biggest win the Chargers have had in the last decade? And especially in the Herbert, I mean, nothing. Never. They never win anything. So that's where I fall. But I do think they're very talented.
So, obviously with you on everything you just said on that part of the podcast. And, hey, George Ramirez, Robert Quinn to Kansas City. I'm with you, pal. You want to pass rusher Verderam? You want to give the Bears a 3rd or 4th round pick in the next couple of years? I think that makes sense for both teams.
Would it be if, by the way, really, really quickly, a very succinct thing, NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy on Deshaun Watson settlement, 23 seconds ago per Aaron Wilson of Pro Football Network, quote, today's development has no impact on the collectively bargained disciplinary process. Yeah. I just wanted to, since we talked about it earlier, I wanted to just throw it in there. So, Carm, you were saying, go ahead.
I just said, let's make a deal right now. I'll be Ryan Poles. You can be Brett Veach. I've got Robert Quinn. He didn't want to come to Bears minicamp. You guys need a pass rusher. Will you give us a third-round pick next year?
I will, Ryan. I will give you the compensatory pick we got for you going to the Bears.
Great.
So you can have that pick.
All right.
And what is a fun twist of irony. And you get that pick, and we will take what we hope is 12 to 15 sacks.
All right, great. I appreciate it, and good luck with Robert. He's got a lot left in the tank. He didn't want to be here. I think he's a perfect fit for you. I'm going to call him right now.
Beautiful.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
On that note, Ben Heisler, managing editor, BetSided. Don't you think that trade makes sense? Am I missing something here, Heis?
No, it makes a ton of sense. Does the money line up? Can the Chiefs afford to take on Quinn's what? It's a reasonable deal for the numbers that he put up last year. It's a bargain. I think he's making around 12 or 13 million. Would the Bears have to take back any bad money on Kansas City to make the deal happen, and in doing so, possibly amp up the value of that pick? Like, could you?
I was going to say,
yeah.
Give me some bad money, and let's get a second round pick for this thing, and I'll really feel like I'm doing great work.
Yeah, I think so. Does it add up, Vertram? Does the money make sense there?
The Chiefs could afford him without doing anything.
Okay. So yeah.
When they traded Tyreek Hill, they opened up enough cap space for the rest of time. So, yeah, especially if they get the deal done with Orlando Brown, they get him off the tag. That'll open up another $8-9 million. So, yeah, no, they would not have to do anything to afford it.
Yeah, done. Done yesterday, as far as I'm concerned.
I actually should reach out on that and get off my ass. I haven't. I've been all busy with some stuff, but I probably should shoot a few text messages around and see what's going on.
Let's go, and we'll get back at it next week with a full on Vertaram report on Robert Quinn and the Chiefs and anything that's related to
Carm. But before we dive in, because I know we got some fun stuff today. I'm feeling kind of hungry. I don't know if when you guys are lunch break,
starving.
Yeah, no, I need your orders. I lost. I for those who are not familiar, I said very confidently that the Boston Celtics were going to win the NBA championship. I bet an Uber-delivered meal with both these fine gentlemen. So I owe Matt Vertaram and Ben Heisler a cuisine of their choice delivered to their abodes. And if you would like to eat it on the podcast next week, time it on out, that's possible. Or you could just send a picture of you and Elena and the kids, Ben, having dinner on Carm, and put that out there. But I lost. I was loving it after the Celtics were up 2-1 and were leading going into the fourth quarter in game four. And didn't go my way. I don't know what the hell happened to Boston. Jason Tatum, you looked like...
Looked like me.
Yes. I was going to say myself in seventh grade when I got cut from the Edgewood Junior High basketball team. That's actually not true because I played well in that tryout, and Steve Bartoli, the insane coach, cut me because I wasn't one of the cool kids, and I will hold that for life, Bartoli. You suck. But regardless of that, I can't believe what happened to Tatum and Derek White. And by the way, why Kevin Pritchard was ever on the court, I have no idea either, because that guy reminded me of Ollie and Hoosiers the whole time. Guy couldn't hit a shot for his life. It was so embarrassing.
Kevin Pritchard is like It's like if a movie, like some fan.
Yeah, Peyton Pritchard. Kevin Pritchard, I think, is a former
actor or something.
Maybe.
Yeah. Regardless, Pritchard.
The GM. I think he was an old GM. Go ahead.
It's like, yeah, you're right. He was. Pritchard's like that guy who, if it were a movie that like a fan won a contest and they're like, listen, get out there and fulfill your dreams. Except in this, it wasn't a movie and he missed every shot he took. Now the Celtics fell apart in a real way. I actually could taste dinner as I was watching game six. The Warriors were on that 23-0 run. So we'll figure it out. We're going to figure out how we're going to get this done. If you're going to send like a gift card, or if I'm just going to go to Ruth Chris and run up a nice bill and then you're just going to send over a check, like we'll figure it out.
I don't remember anything on the Ruth Chris level, but whatever you feel you deserve, I'm into support here. I made the wager and I feel nauseous about it.
I won't you too bad, Carm. I won't.
And I have no idea why I called him Kevin Pritchard. I think I tweeted Kevin Pritchard.
That's a shame.
That's not a good job by me. That's a bad
journalistic standards are sinking by the hour.
This is bad. Okay. All right, Heist, let's make some money here. We're doing passing yards, favorite versus the field. We've got Justin Herbert is at +550. Tom Brady's at +700. What do we like in our making some money here, looking to the future?
Yeah, I think both of those names are intriguing, but I'd probably take the field between those two. You have Brady, who is, yes, he was one of the tops in the NFL in passing yards from a season ago. I just think their division is so winnable that there's going to be plenty of times where even when he's stomping on other teams and putting up the monster numbers, that they'll still have to hold him back a little bit and they'll just run it out in the fourth quarter. I don't think they're a team that necessarily needs to throw a ton. And so even a +700 doesn't feel like it makes sense. With Herbert, yeah, it's in play, but I mean, we talked about one of Verderam's sneaky MVP candidates this year in Derek Carr, where in that division, you have to throw so often because they're not going to stop anybody. And so, like, would I rather take somebody like Carr at like 20 or 30 to one versus somebody like Herbert at the top of that list? To me, I think that's a much better value bet. So I'd rather go with the field here as opposed to taking the two guys at the top of the odds board.
If I missed it, because I just retweeted that you're on the show right now, Heist, what's the odds on Derek Carr right now? I love that play.
Carr, last time I checked, I believe was either 20 to 1 or 30 to 1 over at WinBet. And I will try and see if I can get that exact number for you shortly.
No big deal. I mean, whatever it is, it's going to be a good number. I mean, if you're looking to take a flyer on something, right? That would excite me. I would like holding that ticket right now with Devontae coming in. Let's go. Let's go, Derek Carr. Big year for the Raiders, damn it. Verderam, thoughts on that?
Yeah, actually, if I had to pick one person, it would be Derek Carr. Two reasons. He's got a lot of weapons, and they're giving up 30 points a game. So I would take the Raiders. Look, if there's anybody who's going to be chucking it 700 times this year, it's Derek Carr. I would take the field, obviously. Look, I think Carr's got a great shot to win a passing title. I always try to find those teams that are going to throw a lot and that aren't going to stop many people. Mahomes might also be in that conversation. Especially early in the year, that defense, as young as it is, as inexperienced as it is, I could see a lot of pigskin flying around in Kansas City. So I would take the field. Stafford is another guy who I would throw in there as someone who could win a passing title. They have Allen Robinson now. So, yeah, I would take the field. But if I had to take one guy, I actually think Derek Carr is an interesting play because I think he's going to throw the ball constantly.
I like this comment as we rewind back with Jalen Random, but whatever for me personally, as we all can see, I would much rather have the Chargers win a Super Bowl over the Bills as a Chiefs fan. Something about Bills fans I can't stand. Verderam, you hate Buffalo.
I'm conflicted because I love, like, the fans. I'll disagree with Jalen on one thing. I think the fans in Buffalo are great fans. I've always felt. The fan base, they love their teams, and they've never been loved back. Like, to go, but Carm is referencing a video that we did that was high comedy years ago. I forget what I initially did the video about, but it was something about different cities or something. I honestly don't remember. But
you took a run at Buffalo online.
Yes. I ended up saying that Buffalo, like, is just there's no there essentially with Buffalo. I've been to Buffalo many times. I went to college a few hours away from it. It's just, look, I love the people, but the city itself, yeah, it's just cold in August. Like, I don't know of anyone who's like, you know what I really want to do? I want to take a vacation to Buffalo. Now, that said, I will say in the year since I've come around on one thing, I think the people are great, and I have all, and the fan base is top notch, because it gets easy to be a fan of the Patriots the last 20 years, okay? You're a Bills fan. As a Knicks fan, I get it. You're in nothing but deep pain most of your life, and yet you've overcome. And to sit outside in Buffalo, New York, in January and December, you are a true fan. That's no joke. You're not sitting there drinking a pina colada watching the Bills in December, okay? So you got to give them, all the credit in the world there. So I'm actually on their side. I would be very happy for Bills fans if they won. They deserve it. Like a week ago, I was arguing about how much I love Martin Brodeur as a Devils goaltender, retired Devils goaltender. I think he's the best goaltender of all time. I'll fight anybody on this. Many, many, many Buffalo Sabres fans were irate over this and felt Dominic Hasek is not even in the same argument as Brodeur, that he's better. And I would argue he's also not in the same argument. He's not as good. And so I got very involved with this. And I thought about, like, why are they so passionate about this? Like, who really cares? I'm a football guy who has an opinion. And then I realized, and I don't mean this as a dig, this is serious. The Sabres have existed for over 50 years. I defy even most hockey fans to name five legitimate, like, legendary players that have ever played for the Buffalo Sabres. There's nothing to be happy about.
Okay. I mean, I couldn't tell you one player that's playing in the Stanley Cup Finals right now, if we're being
honest.
Terrible
person.
I couldn't.
I am going to Ruth Chris. The hell with you.
Good final, too.
Let alone.
Disappointed.
Let alone. Heist, do you know my radio history with Buffalo? I don't think you do. It's a good one, though.
I feel like you were going to take a job, and then you
do know
passed
it.
I'm trying. It's been a while.
So
been a hot
minute. I had to get out because there was changes going on at the radio station that I was working with back in Chicago. So I'm looking for any opportunity to get on the air, and, like, I literally was going to take anything. And I got offered $200 a week to go to whatever the station was in Buffalo to, like, do updates and whatever the hell else they were going to have me doing, but it was going to put me on the air. And I'm like, I really don't know if I can live in a city that only cares about football and hockey. No baseball, no basketball, $200 a week. I got to learn the Buffalo Sabres. I was having a heart attack, but I would have taken it. I think I really would have if that was my only option. And then I get there, and a program director by the name of Andy Roth, that everybody in radio knows, was like, I don't have anything for you, actually. We're going to go internal, but I know a guy in Kansas City who might. So why don't you call up Ryan McGuire and see if he'll hire you to go to 610? And then me and high school ended up.
A familiar story. That's right.
Yeah. So that was I nearly was in Buffalo, Verderamp, for $200 a week.
I would. That's the pitch. I would have paid good money to seeing you have to break down the Buffalo Sabres. I would have paid real money.
The best part of this story to me is the come up for Carm. He goes from an offer to make $200 a week in Buffalo to paying the Roots Chris for Verderam for losing an NBA Finals bet. Like, look at this meteoric rise.
Meteoric. I was falling forward for a while. It was great. You're not getting this one, but why don't you try Kansas City? They got the Chiefs, and they got a sweet college hoop environment. You got the Royals. Yeah, it sucks for you, Carm. We know you love the NBA, but that's okay. You'll still do a LeBron James announcement special. That'll be the highest-rated show in the history of sports talk radio in Kansas City. Still got fired.
Not the year counting.
Never mind. Got 20s. okay,
we might have so let's move. That's a conversation.
No, it's this one doesn't bother me. All right, rushing yards versus the field. Henry, Taylor, both sitting in the 500s, plus 500 for Taylor. Derrick Henry plus 550. What do you got here, Heist? Trying to move this along here as we're coming up on an hour.
Yeah, what Henry, I know that the volume will likely be there, but I think we finally saw what a lot of us had been expecting over the last several years, which was after getting to that 2000 mark, at some point your body is just going to slow you down. And even somebody as beastly as Henry, I just don't see that type of ability to sustain without getting hurt along the way, the type of volume and brutality that his body has suffered. With Taylor too, like, running back is just such a volatile position. If you look at the stats, yeah, he outrushed everybody by almost 600 yards last year. But you also look at somebody like Nick Chubb, who's available at 8-1, Najee Harris at 10-1. Again, I think I'm going with the field here, even though Taylor and Henry, purely from a rushing yards output, are going to get more than enough carries to get there. I just think it's such a volatile position that it's hard for me to go with the favorite when I know it's just like choosing a fantasy team, right? If you're taking the running back, you feel like that guy has to play at least 14, 15 games for you to be successful. And I just don't know if I can go in with that low of a number to feel like it's going to be like it's going to work out. So I think Najee Harris probably is the guy that I like the most entering his second year. Pittsburgh isn't going to, they're going to have to rely on the run a lot more. They've improved their offensive line. I think out of all of them, that's probably my favorite at 10-1.
Let me give you a sneaky one. Although I actually would go the other way here. I would take Taylor. I just think that's just the way they're built. They're going to pound the ball a million times over, even with Matt Ryan. I'll give you a sneaky one that this might look really stupid, but it would be like the ultimate flyer bet. Raheem Mostert in Miami. They are going to run the ball nonstop. And that guy, when he got a chance in San Francisco, could play. Like, I wouldn't go betting like serious money.
That's a 100-1 bet, veteran. That would be a hell of a payday if it were to
happen. Like, I'd throw like $10 on that and just say, look, he just has one of those like one-off years where he gets 280 carries, you know, and goes for 1,300 yards, and then that's it.
It's like his Peyton Hillis year, and he gets on the cover of Madden.
Yeah, like, you know he's going to be the lead back there. You know they're going to run the ball like crazy. They have a good defense, so theoretically they should be like involved in games where they can run, and they're gonna do everything in the world to take the pressure off of Tua. So you're also gonna see a lot of too high out in Miami because of Hill and Waddle. So you're not gonna have a stacked box. I got that in there, and I think we're going to see Mostert have a very good year. So at 100-1, yeah, I'd throw down $10 on that.
What's the odds on David Montgomery, Heist?
He is 40-1, David Montgomery, okay, to get to lead the NFL in rushing this year. From a volume play, Carm, I get it, but are you confident enough that the Bears' offensive line is going to be able to help him? And especially if they're putting 7-8 guys in to try to slow down Fields, could that be an issue too?
That would be the biggest issue, and also to the way Verram is lining things up here. The Bears are probably not going to be leading in a lot of football games. So I don't think they're just going to be ground and pounding their way here. Although maybe they will do that even when they're down 3 touchdowns because they don't want to get Justin Fields killed and they want to continue to elevate his confidence and not put everything on his plate. But I do think David Montgomery is going to have his best year as a pro this year. I think this particular regime is going to figure out even better ways to use him. So just a name to throw out there. All right, receiving yards, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, both in the 700s. Kupp at 700, plus 700, Jefferson plus 750.
Yeah.
I would think you're fading Kupp just because of the Allen Robinson acquisition, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think Jefferson is the play for me at 8-1. I love his ability, especially with Adam Thielen likely taking another slow step down. You have a very passing-oriented new head coach in Minnesota taking over for Mike Zimmer. I just think they're going to unleash Jefferson. And it's crazy to think that somebody of his caliber maybe hasn't even reached his true potential yet after just monster seasons. Had, you know, 1,600 yards last year. If you look at the numbers, Jefferson would have led the NFL in receiving yards if not for Cooper Kupp, who had, had 1,947. It was targeted 167 times. It's probably Kirk Cousins' last year in Minnesota. He'll, as long as he stays healthy, to me, this is somebody that is on the field consistently, that's winning one-on-one matchups, and that's going to have a very proactive downfield approach with the play action that's helped Cousins be successful. In whatever sort of limited capacity you want to rule Kirk Cousins as a successful quarterback, but the numbers have been there. Like, he's put up really good numbers. A lot of it might be empty calories, but if you're looking at receiving yards, I think Jefferson, even near the top of the list, is probably the play for me.
You go a lot of different ways. I take the field. There's just so many really good receivers that I just by odds, I would go that way. I mean, like, Adams is going to get a ton of balls in Vegas, although obviously they have other weapons. They'll spread it out. Diggs is always a guy to watch, obviously someone who's clearly the best player on his team. I'll give you a flyer. And again, this isn't like one of those things I'd go all in, but Terry McLaurin in Washington, like, especially in a contract year, he's going to get the ball a lot. And I know they have Jahar Dotson. I understand all that. And I'm not anyone who's listened to this podcast for about 10 minutes knows how I feel about Carson Wentz. But McLaurin is a really good player. And that team is a team that I think could be trailing some. Like, I don't know. Dotson is a rookie. Like, is he going to really take away a bunch of targets? So I like him. Allen Robinson intrigues me. I mean, I can't put him ahead of Kupp, but I do think he's intriguing. Hopkins is off the board because of his suspension. Metcalf is a non-factor because they have no quarterback. I would take the field, but if I had to go one way or the other with Jefferson and Kupp, I think Jeff play because I agree with O'Connell, they're going to throw the ball a lot more.
We are in agreement. Hey, Heiss. Good to see you, buddy. I like the guitar addition in the background. I like your whole background addition, period. You look, that plasma's gone. And, like, I mean, look at this guy. Just looks, I mean, we got microphones, we got guitars, we got Sports Illustrateds. I like, we got Wheaties boxes. I like it.
Were you the guy at college who, like, sat up against a tree on a nice fall day and played the guitar?
No. I was
coming on this podcast again.
No, I played the guitar in college and in high school for a little bit. It was never, I'm a musical guy, but it was never my best instrument. I was in like a high school rock band and we were just the absolute worst. So I discovered soon on that, like, I wasn't going to be the guy trying to get the girl in college by playing the guitar on the quad. That was never me. I was always a keyboards guy.
Hold on a second, though. Shout out to the guy who plays the guitar up against the tree in college. That dude's cool as hell. That guy's, what do you mean? That guy's awesome. I love that guy.
That guy sucks. That guy.
What are you talking about?
That guy's the worst. Because you know what? Someone who can actually play the guitar is not sitting there just strumming a chord. And by the way, I am beyond musically challenged. Okay. So I'm not, if you can play an instrument, God bless. My sister is really good on a guitar. I can't do anything. Okay. Like play like nightclubs in New York City. Good. There's no way I couldn't play one chord, but no, there was nothing worse in college than when you passed the, and it was just so obvious. Right? Just sit there and strum that. Like, hey, look, go in your dorm room and play your guitar. You play like crap anyway, at least go take it inside. Oh, I couldn't stand that guy. It's such a ploy. Just drove me to no end. It pissed me off.
What was the number one song that guitar guy on the quad would always be playing? It would either be like Wonderwall by Oasis.
Yes.
Something by Dave Matthews Band.
Bodies of Wonderland, right?
Like the guitar. Green Day. Like there was definitely a certain playlist. The General by Dispatch. Oh my God.
Dave Matthews Band was definitely in there in my era. That's for sure. That was an all day. I don't know if Ants Marching was the call or whatnot. I was never a huge DMB guy myself, but that was,
that one's a hard one to play just solo guitar. Cause like my whole song is got the little brass action in the back, but I see where you're going with guitar. Yeah. No, I was not that guy, Verderam. If I did play, I practiced on my own. I would try to plug in the guitar because it was electric and I would use headphones because I didn't want to bother anybody just hearing how awful I was.
But Heiss, you play the piano, right?
I play keyboards. I played 10 or sacks for about 8 years in middle school and college, did Jazz, enjoyed it until the point where I realized that I had to practice a ton. And then it just, I lost complete interest. It was far too competitive of a program. Like I got to high school thinking that I was hot shit on it, and realized that everybody around me was substantially better. And I was like, okay, I don't have time to practice an hour a day. I'm going to wing it like everybody else and hope I don't squeak and kind of fake it till I make it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I appreciate everybody's commentary. Clint, George. But, hey, I don't think they were trying to impress you. You guys are right. and you guys definitely are right. And that's probably for the best, because I was not impressed. But I will say, I have all the respect to anybody play an instrument and do it really well. I'm always fascinated by, because I am the complete opposite. I got the athletic genes in my family. I did not get the musical genes by any stretch of the imagination. But I tell you, it's like that guy playing the guitar in the choir. I always just want to just go up and be, hey, look, man, you take it anywhere else. Anywhere else?
Do you want to go like full John Belushi, Animal House on that guitar?
Oh, always wanted to. Always wanted, just, you know, never got that aggressive. But it is true. Hey, listen, you know, and Sean, by the way, our producer, put in the chat the song "Your Body Is a Wonderland," which was the quintessential, right? Like the acoustic version. Oh, this guy's so sensitive. No, he's not. Guy's terrible. Okay, as is that song, by the way. But that's in here, another.
We just got to put it on the record for over here. 7 years of piano lessons. I made it to Fur Elise, and I got like 1/3 into Fur Elise. Like I could play the start, and that was when I was like, all right, that's it.
You inherited your old man's ability to dance, though, Garn. So
there we go.
Verum got the athletic genes. I got the music genes. You got the dance genes. So all of us benefited in some capacity.
I grew up with brothers who would, you know, they were much older than me, but they would come home, they'd fire out the entertainer, and it was like you liked hearing it. One Chief story for you, Verum. Nice, you can go. A friend of mine who was a musician came to visit me. And I had this small house in Kansas City that I was renting for $850 in Prairie Village, if anybody knows whatever, Mission, Kansas specifically, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, he comes in with this violin, man, and I didn't know what to expect, but he had to practice because he was trying out to make the Kansas City Symphony. So I would like be coming home down the street, and this dude would be practicing in this small house with the windows open. The whole neighborhood could hear him rocking this violin. It was the sweetest, most just beautiful feeling to come home to. So music makes your life better, man, even when it literally can be heard a block away from your house. That's all I got. Thank you. Aaron, my guy Aaron, God bless him. I don't think he got the gig. Hey, Heist, you're the man. We'll see you next week, brother.
All right, boys. Take it easy.
See you.
Verdi, anything you want to get to on the way out here?
I think we hit it all. I remember those years in high school where we were forced to take band as part of the curriculum. And let me tell you something. Nobody hated me more than the band teacher. Okay. Because I was utterly useless and just sat there and was like, listen, I'm not getting involved. I am terrible at this. I will flirt with some girls and try to get a prom date out of this. But that's about as far as this is going. I had nothing else to contribute. I was like, well, I'll just, you know, I gotta sit here and learn it. Oh my God.
What about the choir? Did you have to take choir class?
No, I didn't. I had, I feel like I went to every choir high school because I seemed to always date a girl who was in choir. But no, I was never, and I will say, I think if it made me choose, like, you have to sing or you have to actually play an instrument, singing definitely would be my choice. Not that I am, Andrea Bocelli here, but I can at least like carry the occasional note. No way in the world could Clint McKenzie, triangle at the triangle, man. Maybe I could rock that. That's as far as it's going.
The fact that you just pulled, and I just looked it up because I had no idea, that you pulled out Andrea Bocelli, the Italian operatic tenor is impressive. Congratulations.
That's a, big... a lot of them. And when I was younger, I worked at my uncle's Italian restaurant, and we listened to Andrea Bocelli all the time. Family's gone and seen him in concert.
That's amazing. That's right. Gonzo, to answer your question, I was strong. Damn it. Hoops was my best sport.
For the people who can't see, Gonzo asks, how was a young Carmen Verderam playing basketball in P? So Carmen was strong. I was always a unique player in this sense. I can't jump. So me being inside was a train wreck. I could shoot from outside, although that is long gone. My best sport easily was hockey. That's what I was good at. And I was pretty good at baseball. I was a pretty good catcher on my high school team in baseball. But basketball was, of all the sports, basketball is like easily the fourth one for me.
My greatest athletic accomplishment outside of beating whoever I beat on Saturday in a very tight tennis match, 7-5, 7-6. Nice. That was a good win. Even though he wasn't great, but never mind. Great.
Don't run it down. Say he was nice.
There we go. I mean, I took this guy down. He was incredible. I had like six match points against, or six set points against me, and held him off and got him in straight sets. Nice. It was nice. But in third grade, I want to say, maybe it was fifth grade, third grade or fifth grade, I won the free throw shooting contest for all the six elementary schools, shooting them underhanded a la Rick Barry, because I weighed about 50 pounds and couldn't get it up there. Carger Rec Center, just knocking them down with Papa Fred coming down to rebound for me. And then I moved on to the sectionals of it, and some kid was drinking coffee, and he was like 9, and I got intimidated and finished third.
He drove himself to the event?
Yeah, right. I'm like, I can't compete. This dude's drinking coffee. It's over.
My greatest – I guess we can close this. My greatest athletic – oh, my God. I don't know. I guess – I don't know if it's my greatest accomplishment, but my favorite moment, I had a walk-off grand slam in high school. That was,
yes.
That was pretty cool. My dad was the first base coach. That was pretty neat.
Did you know,
it was on a 2-2 pitch, and it was on a changeup away, and it didn't get away enough, and I was able to hook it and just pulled it and hit it deep to left field. But
did you get mobbed at home plate?
I did.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That was pretty cool. We were down by 3, and the kid had me 1-2, threw a fastball in, and I was like, you know what? He's going to throw me a pitch away, and if he had thrown a pitch in – it would have been a bad scene, Carm, because I was cheating away big time. Like I know he's gonna throw it away. He went for the, but it was up a little bit, and I was able to get up under it and drive it out the left field for a walk off at home. That was pretty cool. That was fun.
I think on that note, because I could continue to talk about athletic moments for another hour, we should probably say goodbye and say thank you for watching Stacking the Box, particularly to all you who made it this far. Wolfram, Clint, you a ton of contributions. Hey, Gonzo, you're the man. Appreciate your loyalty, consistency. George, everybody else in there.
Jaylen,
as I scroll, Jaylen, you're the best. Appreciate everybody. And we're obviously in our little bit of a dead time here, but training camp is coming quick. So it is getting here now, where it's
about a month away.
Exactly right. So are you taking any vacation before it starts there? Everybody?
Well, as only a real NFL reporter should do, I am actually going on vacation July. Well, I'm going to New York on July 20th. I'm taking a 14-hour car ride with Maisie, which that'll be interesting. Love her to death, but she's like me, likes to talk. So there will be no oxygen left in that car by the time we get to Ohio. But yes, I will be. I think my first official day, because I'll work a few days in New York, I'll be on vacation from like July 25th or 26th, whatever the hell that Monday is, right clear through like August 10th or 11th. So, but I'll be doing the podcast. I'm not going to miss the pod. I'll be here. So no worries. But yeah, I'm leaving it to other people on the desk to handle NFL training camp for a few weeks. Because I know once I come back, that's it. That's it until the NFL draft is over. So I try to get away a little bit in the summer and recharge for the long haul.
Yeah, I'm in the same particular situation. Going to take a couple breaks during training camp leading up to the season, but I'll be here, and I'll be on the Windy City Podcast
Check it out.
We are I guess I can announce, I don't see any reason why not. We have a new co-host for DeWindy City who I'm super excited about. He's starting tomorrow. So his name's Herb Howard. I actually met him fairly recently. He's been out covering Bears. I've been super impressed with the questions he's been asking. He was on the pod once. So I'm really excited about bringing Herb on tomorrow. I think people are going to really enjoy him, along with my dynamic content, damn it. So we are DeWindying up on Wednesdays now, 5 o'clock. So if people feel free, would love to see you there tomorrow on that particular YouTube channel. All right, Verdi, always fun to be with you, brother.
You as well, man.
Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for all the help behind the scenes, team. And we'll see you next week for Stacking the Box. Tuesdays, 11 Central. You got it.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save.